Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Chuck Arfine in for David Kaplan today, and I've got a panel for you today. We've got Gordon Whitmire, our great Cubs writer for NBC Sports Chicago. We've got Rob Schaefer, Bulls writer for NBC Sports Chicago, and the one and only David Haw from 670 to Score, co-host of the Molly and Haw Show every Monday and Friday, Monday through Friday on 670 to Score. All right, lots to get to. We're going to talk Bulls, we're going to talk White Sox, Cubs, but we're going to start with the NFL. Cam Newton signing a one-year contract with the New England Patriots. David Haw, your thoughts on this interesting marriage between Belichick and Newton?
Great fit for the Patriots, a worthwhile gamble for Bill Belichick. He's in a position where he could take that kind of a risk with the health of Cam Newton. You don't know how healthy he will be, but if he is healthy, then it was worth waiting him out. It was June 28th when he signed. Look, everybody in town is after the Bears because they didn't go after Cam Newton, and they ended up with Nick Foles, and they committed $24 million in a draft pick. I get it, because the Bears have not earned the benefit of the doubt here. But they also made that deal in March, and I don't know that had they gone to Cam Newton in March, if we all would have been saying, oh, that makes a lot of sense. They have not built up that football capital to take that risk and wait it out. They couldn't wait it out the way Belichick could have. And I think they did what they needed to do at the time. And Nick Foles fit the system, so they were willing to give up that kind of, you know, capital for that kind of security.
Gordon?
Yeah, I love how every time a quarterback signs a good deal or a good quarterback seems to be picked up by somebody, this becomes another referendum on the Nick Foles deal, which we'll probably be talking about all the way through whatever season they wind up playing, and probably not in a great way. But kind of along the lines of what Dave was saying, I mean, other than the Bears' general aversion to signing black quarterbacks that we've talked about in the past, I mean, there was – a familiarity with Foles in this system and the coaches on the staff and what they felt they needed to acquire at the time, and a problematic nature with the injury at a time when it was hard to get a lot of intel on the injury. So this idea that, you know, the Bears could have got that deal or should have waited is probably a false argument to even try to debate, but it could be, I mean, I'm certainly not here to tell you that Bill Belichick's going to be wrong on this. So this will be maybe one of the most interesting signings.
Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, from the Patriots' perspective, it's just it's the evil empire is back move, right? And it feels like they never left. Low risk, high reward, a guy that is a league MVP 4 or 5 years. And we know the performance has waxed and waned since then, in large part because of the injury history. And for that reason, I'm going to have a hard time killing the Bears for this too. Like you said, Gordon, with Nick Foles' familiarity with the schemes, that's a layer of nuance that should be addressed here. And also with kind of the coronavirus's impact on, you know, how accessible these guys are going to be for workouts and for getting an extended look at them. I think that would have been a tough decision for the Bears to have to make given the circumstances. So, you know, gripe with the Foles money all you want, but for me, it's a great move for New England. It has the potential to pay off big, and we'll all be dreading the day that it does. But certainly good for the NFL to have Cam back and in a position where he could hopefully succeed, because he's still one of the more exciting players in the league when healthy to me.
That's a good point, Rob, about the COVID and the impact of the offseason. Also, guys, we're here in Chicago, so we're Chicago-centric, but, you know, they're sitting there today – in LA and wondering why the Chargers didn't move on him. And they're sitting there in Washington, D.C. and saying, you know what, Ron Rivera coached this guy, went to the Super Bowl with this guy, and he traded a fifth-round draft pick to the Panthers for his backup. So the concerns about Cam Newton's health were real. There's only one Bill Belichick, and he can go out on a limb because it's a pretty sturdy limb. This is a guy who has that kind of background. He can take these risks, but not every franchise was positioned to take the kind of risk necessary.
We'll talk more Cam Newton with Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston, or Patriots Insider, coming up later in the show. But let's go to baseball now. Steve Stone came on the White Sox Talk podcast today, and he expects the White Sox to make the playoffs here in 2020. What do you guys think about their chances of getting the postseason? That would be a big jump. I know it's an abbreviated season. You're laughing over there, Gordon. What do you think?
I'm laughing because Ron Coomer says the Cubs are going to make the playoffs. I mean, come on, give me a break. Steve Stone, I mean, I love Steve, and he knows as much baseball as anybody in town, but this is a crapshoot of all crapshoots this year. The Pirates could get to the playoffs.
No, they can't. Come on.
The Pirates can get to the playoffs. Have you seen this division?
I've seen the Pirates.
There's at least six teams in this 10-team division that have a chance to get to the playoffs that are good enough to finish with winning records. And winning records, my God, 30 wins could get you to the playoffs. 35 wins is the equivalent of like 100. So maybe they will. But Gordon, maybe they'll finish 10 games under 500 too. Who the hell knows?
Stop picking on Stoney. All right, leave Stoney alone. We love Stoney. But you know what? His optimism was there, Chuck. You know this. Back in March, he was talking about this lineup being as dangerous as any we've seen on the South Side in a generation. So I understand where he's coming from. Also, here's two things that you got to consider here, Gordon, before you go poo-poo, is that Kopech, Rodon, those are two factors that we couldn't really point to in March as being guys who you can count on from day one. And if they're available and they're healthy – this is a playoff caliber roster potentially.
Yeah, and especially when you're relying on young guys in the rotation. I mean, an abbreviated season could help. You're not going to burn out over a 60-game schedule in the same way that you would over 162. So for me, you know, I thought that the playoff buzz for the White Sox maybe needed to be a little bit tempered back when we thought this was going to be a regular season, but I certainly see the enthusiasm and why it's there, and I don't see why that would change in an abbreviated season. So
yeah, I think – If a team just gets hot, any team, even your Pittsburgh Pirates there, Gordon, you're all of a sudden, you've got a shot because of the scenario of 60 games. So we'll see what happens.
I agree. On paper, Dave's right. I mean, on paper, you look at the starting pitching, but a 5-game losing streak could tank the whole thing. And experience is going to matter in a season that's entirely a stretch run.
Yeah, I think this offense will carry them more than anything. I think this offense has a chance to be really, really special. We'll see what happens. This was interesting today. Mike Leake, pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, has decided to opt out of the final year of his contract, not wanting to play in this COVID situation. What do you think about this, Gordon? And do you think we're going to see a lot more of this?
I think we're going to see more. I've said this from the start of this whole process, is that we're going to get our plan in place. We're going to see our rosters. And then once they make their distinction on what qualifies as high risk, they're going to be guys that aren't high risk that decide to opt out, guys that service time doesn't matter, or they've made enough money that they're flexible enough in their personal lives that they can make that choice for their personal reasons. And I would expect at least a dozen guys around baseball to opt out for their own reasons without being on the high risk list. Now, that being the case, one of the guys in our market that I identified as a possibility for that early on was Yu Darvish, because he spoke with the most concern over the virus earlier than anybody else of any profile in baseball did. This was way back in early March. And I've since found out, since the leaked news, I found out that from somebody close to Darvish that he does intend to report, and as of now will be there with the Cubs. But keep your eyes open, because there's going to be more of these guys.
Let's talk Bulls now. And Rob, you cover the Bulls, and they're one of the eight teams that are not playing in Orlando. Is this going to be? I assume it sounds like a disadvantage for the Bulls, or is it not, that the fact they can maybe just do some training on their own? What's your take on how this is going to play out with the Bulls?
Yeah, I certainly think it could be perceived as a disadvantage. And I think the Bulls front office, the new regime, certainly sees it as a disadvantage, considering Arturis Karnišovas has been public on conference calls with reporters saying that he's in favor of some kind of 8-team scrimmage kind of program. Some kind of game-oriented thing happening over the summer. the hurdles that the league is going to have to get over for that to be a thing. And I think the likelihood is low, because the hurdles that they face getting the 22 teams that are playoff eligible at this point assembled in Orlando was difficult enough. I don't see how those obstacles get mounted for largely meaningless games between the dregs of the league, frankly. I think that's just going to be a tough sell for a lot of these guys who are grappling with kind of the real life realities and consequences of the COVID pandemic. You see guys opting out of a real playoff chance, a real chance at a title. I don't see why that would be any different in a competition between the Delete Eight, as they've been termed. But I do know that the Bulls is a young rebuilding team that needs to get reps in and needs to see where a lot of these young pieces that there are large question marks on are. It's definitely going to be perceived as a disadvantage within the organization.
Biggest question mark is about the coach, Rob, I think, and everybody wants to know what is next and what is the timetable for Jim Boylan. That's the one question that comes up every time we talk about the Bulls.
Yeah, I want to be able to write that David Ross just moved up in Chicago head coach tenure without managing a game. So let's get some movement on that front.
Yeah, that would be a heck of a nugget. And that's another thing that would be an advantage, I think, for the fan base and a lot of people that are antsy about it is the new regime has said they want to get in the same room as Jim and see how he operates around the team. And I think as close to a real game environment as you can get would be conducive to that. The question that I have, and it ties into the question of how many players would actually show up for this thing, is how reliable of an evaluation environment would anything that they cobble together? I mean, I would have a hard time taking anything away from an exhibition showcase like this, where so much is going to be restricted. But yeah, I mean, it's just we're still going to keep playing the waiting game, and the longer that this saga kind of drags out, the longer it's going to take.
Look,
all right, we're going to wrap things up here for this segment. Sorry, Gordon, we got to go to break. We're out of time. Thank you very much, David Hogg, Gordon Whitmire, and Rob Schaefer. Coming up next, we're going to talk more NFL with Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We're back in a moment.
Listen up, Bulls Authentic fans. The My Teams app is the perfect app for you. Get your favorite team at your fingertips. Don't miss out on the best Bulls coverage in the city and read in-depth articles. What are you waiting for? Download the My Teams app now.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. And remember, your local Chevy dealer has got your back. Your safety is their number one concern. To be sure your Chevy is running right, their factory-trained technicians are standing by. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. They're open and at your service. All right, we're now joined by Tom Curran, Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston. And we got to break down the big news that happened on Sunday, and it flows into today, and that is that Cam Newton's going to the New England Patriots, signing that one-year deal. What do you think about this for the Patriots, and what are they getting in Cam Newton?
Well, that's what's unknown. And hello, Chuck. Hello, Chicago. What they're getting is a former MVP who is a few years removed from being a good player. Now, 2016, he was outright not good. 17 was marred by a shoulder injury. The beginning of 2018, and as I've talked to people down around Carolina and people like Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk, talked to him about Newton. He said, look, he was a top 10 quarterback easily at the beginning of 2018. 2019, it was a foot injury that laid him low. Are they getting the guy who played so well in 15, who played so well at the beginning of 18? If so, to get him for $1 million with incentives to take it to 7.5, it could be quite a coup.
It's interesting because that would be a major coup. If he gets all the incentives, $7 million for an NFL quarterback is a big time bargain. And it kind of fell into your guys' laps. Were you expecting this to happen or no? Were you surprised?
No, I was not. You know, in April, you know, we had to keep circling up and see what the landscape was after Brady left. And you wondered whether it would be a draft pick. You wondered whether it would be an Andy Dalton who can put his hands at 10-2 and, you know, get the car back into the garage. Or could it be Cam Newton? And again, it didn't make sense to me based on Newton's general style of play over the last few years, his accuracy, and of course the injuries. Plus, atop all that, Chuck, was the fact that you get a guy who was the number one overall pick in 2011, MVP in 2015. Is he going to come back in here and compete for the job with Jarrett Stidham? So I think that probably X'd him off a lot of teams' menus, probably including Chicago, to some extent. Plus, you didn't have a chance to kick the tires on him physically and see where he was. But if Cam Newton is Cam Newton and Nick Foles is Nick Foles, and the Patriots are getting him for $1 million and Nick Foles for 20, I mean, that's – who's winning there?
Not the Bears.
No. And I love Nick Foles.
Yeah. What's his relationship? I mean, it's a victory for Nick Foles. What's his relationship going to be like with Bill Belichick? I'm trying to look at this working relationship with Belichick and Newton. How do you see that unfolding?
I think the most interesting aspect of this is Bill does a very good job of delegating. So the relationship between Bill and Cam Newton is not as important as the relationship between Josh McDaniels and newly acquired offensive assistant Jed Fish and Cam Newton. Look, Bill just will not want a sideshow. And I think that there were times with Tom Brady that it devolved into somebody who had had agitations with Bill, who was fatigued of Bill, and oftentimes said, you know what, I'm done asking permission. I'm 42 years old. If I want to do a documentary, I'm doing a documentary. If I want to stay away from OTAs because I'm getting paid half what everybody else in the league is being paid, I'm going to do that. So Tom Brady did become a little more difficult to manage. Now, I think Bill contributed to making it that way. But Cam Newton coming in right now, spurned by the entire league for $1 million, playing for $1 million, is very motivated. And he doesn't have a backlog of grievances that Tom Brady had with Bill Belichick. So I don't think it'll be a problem. I really don't. There will be funny hats. There will be silly statements just based on observing him from afar. But I don't think it's going to be a big issue.
Assuming they play a full season, who has the better season, Cam Newton or Nick Foles?
Allen Robinson's still there, right?
Yeah.
Tariq Cohen back?
Yeah.
He's got better players around him. No matter how you slice and dice what the Patriots have around offensively, mm-hmm. I think – They have Julian Edelman, who's a 33-year-old receiver who's still outstanding, but you need to start getting some of the wear off of him. N'Keal Harry, unproven. Marquise Lee has not been able to establish anything in the league. Damir Bird, a guy who's not been able to establish anything in the league. A lot of guys who have plenty to prove and haven't proven anything. I think that Chicago has better players around him. I think Nick Foles is going to – I think that the Bears will be a better team than the Patriots in 2020.
This also assumes Mitchell Trubisky, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with him. Maybe he ends up having the most of the starts, but I think the general feeling here is Nick Foles is the quarterback in waiting, but we'll have to wait and see. How is Boston reacting to Tom Brady now in Tampa?
A little bit of shell shock. Now it's the spurned lover portion of the program. I think folks up here are fairly fatigued of seeing Brady in a tanned Brady on the back of a jet ski or working out with Gronk at a high school or standing in a uniform doing the money shots for the programs. So it's, please stop telling us about him, NBC Sports Boston and everyone else. He's gone. He's not here anymore. I think there's an agitation level too that says that he owns some of the culpability for him not being here. I disagree with that. I think that, you know, the Patriots played it out. And when he left, it's like, oh, sorry to see you go. Poof, let the door go behind him. To me, this team was destined to be a 7-9 team before they got Cam Newton. I don't know what they're destined to be now. I don't know if Cam Newton will stick around if he doesn't win the job. I think that he has to be the odds-on favorite to win the job. But I think they're a better team today than they were at the beginning of the weekend.
And the NFL fined the Patriots for illegally filming the Bengals sideline last season for about, I think, $1.7 million. Did the punishment fit the crime in your estimation?
In a vacuum, absolutely not. There should have been no punishment. The Patriots provided a plausible explanation as to why. They just didn't dot their I's and cross their T's. It should have been, well, don't let that happen again. But with the backstory of the Patriots, there are no I's that can be left undotted or T's left uncrossed. And that's why you lose a third round pick, $1.7 million. This is completely a situation where, you know, the Bears have their entertainment arm. Patriots have Kraft Sports Productions. They're going to get their stuff for Bears.com to provide. And that's what the Patriots are trying to do. They were trying to do a profile of a scout. They were getting B-roll of the sideline. They cleared it with the Cleveland Browns where the game was that week. But nobody looped in the Bengals. So when the Bengals saw a guy in a Patriots hat positioning his camera on the sideline, observing things with the, that a Patriots scout would observe, they quite rightfully said, you can't do that. And if you're the Patriots, you definitely can't do that. So it's tough. And two, Chuck, I think you look at this and say, well, boy, Sunday night in the end of June usually isn't a real hot time to have a bunch of NFL news. Why did both of these things happen at the same time? I think the Patriots probably sensed the punishment was coming down and said, look, if we're going to get it done with Newton, we might as well now announce this and get it out there so we can at least soften the blow, because we've already spoken for 15 minutes and just got to this after 12.
It's so true. It's very interesting. I think there's a method behind the madness of the Patriots of releasing all this stuff at the same time. Tom Curran, great stuff. Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston. We appreciate your time and the knowledge. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. See you, Chicago.
All right. Back with more on Sports Talk Live after this.
White Sox authentic fans, if you don't have the My Teams app yet, what are you waiting for? Stay up to date with the best Sox coverage in the city and read articles from White Sox insiders. Bring the South Side to your home and download the My Teams app now.
All right, we're out of time for this edition of Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Our thanks to our guests, David Hall, Gordon Whitmire, Rob Schaefer, and from NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Cap is back. I'm not sure when Cap is back. I believe he's on vacation. Someone will be here hosting Sports Talk Live for you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for watching.